Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey, and I serve at St. Peter Lutheran Church. We're a congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America in Greene, Iowa. And today is Sunday, October 18th, the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew 22, beginning with verse 15. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this? And whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give, therefore, to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from the one who was, who is, and who is to come, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. While looking at this gospel story, I've thought of two directions to go with a sermon on it. One option is short and simple, about one sentence. Here it is. Pay your taxes to the government and also give a tithe to your church. That's it. That's the most straightforward version of this sermon I could come up with. You can probably just stop watching right now. If you're a confirmation student watching this for a worship note, that does not count. That is not the whole sermon. Oh, also, another lesson in the short version. Don't test Jesus in a battle of wits. He always wins. Or we could go with the second option, and we could go a bit deeper into this story. And I think that you'll feel cheated if this sermon only lasts a few seconds, so we're going with that option. Because there's actually quite a bit going on in these seven verses. To start off, notice who is questioning Jesus, and why. The first people mentioned are the Pharisees, who are the religious purists, the group who are focused on following God's law correctly. And they hate that God's chosen nation of Israel is part of the Roman Empire, that Rome has taken them over. The other group is the Herodians, and the Herodians, on the other hand, are a group of people who support King Herod, and King Herod is the Jewish puppet king who relies on the Romans for his authority. So they're still Jewish, the Herodians, they're still citizens of Israel, and maybe they don't like the Romans very much either, but they need the Romans on their side. They don't want to do anything that could offend Rome or defy Caesar because that would threaten their power. So, for them, the best strategy is to cooperate with the Romans and make the best of it. And both of these groups are opposed to Jesus because he does not acknowledge their power. He doesn't play by their rules. So, they go to him intending to entrap him, to trick him with a gotcha question. And they start off with this wonderful sort of flattery about how they know he'll do the right thing, they know he's a great teacher, that he shows deference to no one. But don't make the mistake. It's important for the story to realize this is a political tactic, not an actual question. Their goal is to get Jesus in trouble, and Matthew tells us that. And we see this kind of question constantly in this election season, right? We're familiar with this tactic. Answer one way, and you as the politician risk offending your base. But answer the other way, and the moderate swing voters might think that you're too radical. And both sides do it. Except Jesus isn't asked if he'll pack the courts or denounce a particular group. He is asked whether it's lawful to pay taxes to the emperor, the Roman emperor. And there is no good answer to this question for Jesus. Obviously, according to the Romans, the ones with the power, paying your tax to the emperor is not optional. If Jesus says, no, don't pay the tax, Well, then the Herodians are going to go running to the Romans, their friends, who will arrest Jesus for sedition and rebellion. But if Jesus says, yes, you should pay your taxes, well, then the Pharisees are going to jump on him and spread the word around Jerusalem that Jesus is a collaborator. He's a supporter of those pagan Romans. And actually, it's even worse. The first commandment God gives the Jews is to have no other gods besides the Lord. Don't worship anyone but God, which includes not making any graven images or idols. And what's right there on the Roman coins, similar to our coins today, right there on the coins is a picture of Caesar, an image. And every time that the Jewish people have to use Roman money, which they have to use to pay their taxes, it just grates at them, especially the Pharisees. It's a reminder that they are a subjugated, conquered people, and it's also a religious violation, again, especially for the Pharisees. Dr. Rolf Jacobson explains, on the head's side of the coin was a portrait of the emperor Tiberius, the current Caesar, along with the inscription, Tiberius Caesar Augustus, son of the divine Augustus. So literally, King Tiberius, son of God. And on the tail's side of the coin was the image of a woman depicting peace with the words high priest, referring to the emperor as the high priest of the empire. Now, our money today, of course, says in God we trust, and you can debate whether that's true or not and whether it belongs on money, but at least our dollar bills don't say that George Washington is the son of God. We'd have a real problem with that. So do they. And so it's a great trap question that they ask Jesus, because whatever Jesus says, he will get in trouble. And then he finds a way out of it. Show me the coin used for the tax, he says. And notice who's actually carrying around this piece of Roman propaganda, this picture, this image of the emperor. Jesus has no coins, but someone in the group challenging him does. There's a little hypocrisy right there, right? Jesus points at the coin and says, okay, whose head is stamped on this coin? Whose image is on this piece of metal? Well, the emperor's. It's an imperial coin. And Jesus speaks that great line, give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. So yes, pay your taxes to the emperor. Give the emperor what belongs to him. But what things belong to God? And this is where the story, I think, gets interesting for us today. We have the same understanding that Jesus and the Pharisees and the Herodians all shared. It's in the first verse of Psalm 24. It says, the earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. And as we say in the offering prayer when we worship together, we offer what God has first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. If you saw my video on Friday about the first article of the Apostles' Creed, I talked about this. The most basic thing we believe about God is that God is the creator, which means we, you and I, are part of the creation. And the whole creation belongs to the creator. So if we are going to give to God what is God's, if we're going to follow Jesus' instructions, well, that means everything. Our money, our time, our possessions, our choices, our hopes and dreams, our fears and sorrows, our very lives, they're all God's. It all belongs to God. There's something even deeper here as well. Caesar's stamp on the coin, Caesar's image, means Caesar owns that coin and what it represents. It bears his image, and Jesus accepts that premise. Caesar can have that piece of metal. But by talking about something bearing an image, Jesus brings up an important little detail from the creation story back in Genesis 1. Humankind is made in God's image. All the people listening, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the disciples, any Roman soldiers who are hanging around eavesdropping, each of them bears the image of their creator, whether they know it or not, whether they believe or not. And the fancy word for it in Latin is imago Dei, image of God. you are stamped with the image of God. Which means God's claim on you supersedes any other claim, any claim of membership in a club or citizenship in a nation or party affiliation or any other label you or anyone else puts on. And not only do you belong to God, you belong to the people of God, the body of Christ. Not only are you claimed because you're made in the image of God, you have been baptized into the church. You've been drowned in the waters of baptism and given new life as a child of God, a citizen of heaven. Give to God the things that are God's. This week, I challenge you to consider what it means to belong to God yourself. Maybe it looks like doing some civic duty, like paying taxes, showing up in this world to be God's hands and feet. Maybe it means pausing from all the other rulers and tasks and everything else claiming a right to control your life, and instead spending some time with your Creator. It also means, as theologian Miroslav Volf points out, not giving to the emperor the things that belong to God. The government has a claim on your taxes. That's easier to say, of course, when we have a government by and for the people, but it applies to other governments too. Caesar's government was certainly not a democracy. But no government gets claim on your ultimate allegiance. God the Creator gets our loyalty, not a nation or some other human institution. At the end of the day, our trust is in the God whose image we bear, the one who holds us not only in life, but in death and in the life to come. So this week and always, may you know that you bear the image of your Creator who loves you. May you live out your true identity as a beloved child of God. And may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.